Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just like the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight I'm joined by Heather, and Heather has had a lifetime of paranormal experiences and has come onto the podcast to share them. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kate. It's really good to be here.
It's great to have you on. You are an official across the pond New Zealander, which is very exciting because we get a couple of callers in from there, but we don't get a lot. So I always get very excited to hear about the weird and the unusual that happens across the pond. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure.
So Heather, take me back to where all the weird and the wonderful started to happen to you.
Well, I spent the first 20 years of my life in New Zealand. I have been in Australia since then. But growing up in a little region called the Bay of Plenty, which is in the North Island of New Zealand, very pretty spot. And I lived in a normal sort of brick three-bedroom house, which was all fine, except that from as long as I can remember, probably from five maybe up until about 12, there was something in the bedroom that I shared with my sister that was, I guess you'd say, a shadow person. So that was ongoing for years. And now I look back and just go, wow, I don't quite know how I put up with that. But as I hear often, telling my parents some things, they just would kind of, oh, you're just imagining it. You're just seeing shapes in the dark. But every night, the wardrobe door would seem to open. Now, I wouldn't hear it creak or anything, but it would look like it was opening. I had just enough light to see that. And this dark, dark figure would come out of the wardrobe and make its way toward the bed. And it was the same pattern every night. It would come to the bed and I would just be lying there terrified, trying not to look at it, but just drawn to looking at it. And as it finally would sort of lean over the bed, and it's like it was doing it in slow motion, just slowly lean over the bed, I would squeeze my eyes shut and just roll over and face the wall and really just pull the covers over my head.
How old were you when that was happening?
I reckon, I think from about five until about 12 or 13. It got sort of less frequent as I got older. I shared a room with my sister and I remember saying to her, you know, the thing in the closet, like you have to shut the wardrobe door all the time. Like she couldn't. We couldn't go to bed without the door being shut. But she would sort of just sort of semi-deny it. So she wouldn't really say there's nothing there, but she'd just be like, look, just roll over and go to sleep. Just roll over and turn away and sort of don't look. That's as far as I got with her. And she's a sort of very sort of medical person, science-based person, so she would never even talk about it now, for example. But, yeah, that went on for a very long time.
That's an incredibly long time to live with essentially a shadow person in your room every night for, what's that? That would be 8 years. That's really hair-raising. That is a really terrifying thought to process, really.
Well, it was. And, you know, I just sort of got to the point where I would roll over, as I said, and look at the wall. And then I had a window and I would have the curtains open and I would look out the window at the stars, and I just became sort of not fixated, but I just let my gaze stay there all the time. And I would look at the stars and I'd try the deep breathing and stuff. I sort of had my own coping mechanisms for it. But the house itself, that section, that end bedroom, which was at the end of a long hallway, was just generally known as being really creepy by us three girls. And it was more, it was beyond sort of the hallway's creepy because the hallway's dark and it's long. It was beyond that. There was just sort of almost like this knowing in the family that the hallway and that room were off.
So your sister, she obviously didn't feel comfortable with this presence in the room, and obviously wasn't comfortable to even talk about it to you. Did she ever have any interaction in that room with this entity?
Not that she told me. And it wasn't until many years later, she had left home, and another older sister had also left home. Many years later, when the activity sort of ramped up a little bit, that my mother, who is also a medical person and extremely sciencey and will not have any of this talk, let my older sister bring a friend of hers who was a medium into the house. And that just spoke volumes to me, because that was like, my mother is letting this lady come to the house who's a medium and check the place out. So I think that everybody knew that stuff was happening, but no one really wanted to talk about it.
Wow. That's actually super, super intriguing, because to have something like that happen where your mum kind of just allows a medium to come into the house makes me wonder, that was she having encounters with this entity as well?
Yeah, I don't know. It was just one of those houses where things would happen. So around the time, if memory serves me correctly, around the time that the medium came, my father had died suddenly. And I remember Mum saying that when my father, he was very sick and he died quite quickly, but on the day that he died, that she was upstairs in the bedroom having a rest because she was exhausted from looking after him, and she saw him come up the stairs and walk into the bedroom, and they had this big walk-in closet, and he opened the door and walked into the closet. And she was confused and thinking, well, he can't get up the stairs and what's going on. And she got out of bed and came downstairs, and he was, you know, not far from dying. So that's the only thing that she's ever told me about, but she was moderately freaked out about that.
That's really a sense of, I guess, confirmation that she knows that something else was going on in that house as well, because to come out and say that would have been, you know, just from my understanding of your mother from this brief conversation, that would have been something quite difficult for her to open up about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was just a strange house, as I said. Shortly after my father died, everyone moved out for various reasons, and they were older, and my mother left to go to another city during the week. She was studying in a university town and she would come back on the weekends. So I would be alone in the house during the week working, and it just felt like things really ramped up then. But I never saw anything. It was all noises. It was like shuffling. It was always like it was, because I was in another room now in the house by this stage. I'd moved out of the creepy closet room. And it was every night, same sort of thing. It was just unrelenting. And I used to get up and get a big torch and go outside and sort of go out to the back door and push the door open and yell out, you know, trying to scare someone off, because I was sort of hoping that it was a burglar. Like, that's the point it got to, where I was thinking I'd actually be quite relieved if I saw someone outside, because that would explain things a bit more.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy that the situation that you're in was so bad that you would prefer a burglar in the house than what was currently in there?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It sounds wild, me saying it, because I guess I haven't really talked about this, because as you well know, not many people sort of understand. And I guess it sort of, there was only one night I ever really heard anything more than footsteps, and that was I got up and I was standing in the creepy hallway, and it had a little room that was a toilet actually that came off it. And at the top of that room was a high window, just a little window that was open, because I wouldn't have any other windows open because I didn't know what was going on. But that window was open a little bit. And I just stood in the hallway and I think I said something, you know, like, I've had enough, or what are you doing, or something like that. Just, again, trying to be brave and be bigger than I was and make a noise to scare this thing off. And I just heard this and these footsteps running off, but I bolted to the back door because by this time I was just furious about it. There was nobody there and nothing, but that was a very audible gasp of someone as if they'd been caught out doing something, and the footsteps were like someone running on carpet, but it sounded like it was right outside that window.
That gave me chills, I'm not going to lie. Because you've lived in this house for so long, and this is just the normal for you now. How does that make you feel living in that situation? Because, you know, one thing that I quickly realized when doing this podcast is that people just can't move out of their house. You know, it's there's so many commitments that go into being in a house, and you know, you were so young. And, you know, you're growing up, you're going through, you know, these very, very active years in your life. And you have to deal with a shadow man in your house of all things. Like, how was that growing up as a teenager? Because obviously that would have been something that you couldn't talk about with your friends or anything at that age because of the potential ridicule or anything like that.
Yeah, I remember saying to kids at primary school, oh, you know, do you have a monster in your room? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, there's a monster under the bed or something. Now, whether they did or didn't, I don't really know, but that's kind of as far as it went. And I sort of said, oh, because there's this big dark shadow thing that comes out of the cupboard every night. And they were like, oh, yeah, that happens, sort of thing. And again, they never had any experiences that they talked about, but being kids, I guess they were just trying to put it into some loose kind of concept of we're all afraid of monsters, there's monsters everywhere or something like that. So I never got any traction with that, and so I didn't tell people about it, and it just became something that I dealt with. And as a bit of an aside, I used to, when I was staring at the stars out the window and I had all these sort of coping things that I would do, I would occasionally, not all the time, have like little premonitions about things. And being a kid, I had pets like guinea pigs and things, and it was usually around the pets. So a couple of times I come out in the morning, my mum would say, look, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but, and I go, the next door neighbour's cat got the guinea pig and it's dead. And she'd go, how did you know that? And I go, oh, I just know. And I think I was just brushed off. And I think I said a couple of times, because I saw it in the stars. But that obviously sounds so ridiculous, like it's come off a TV show, that everyone was just kind of rolling their eyes and going, oh, here she goes again.
I would have loved to have seen the expression on your mother's face with everything kind of going on in that house. That really would have been a, it's a, oh, great. Well, now we've got this to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a couple of times again, like I only remember one really clearly. It must have been about 8 or 9 when we went to visit an uncle that had moved into a new house, and it was about 3 hours away from where we lived. And so we went there and we were driving along and I said, oh, okay, so there's the lake. So then we're going to go around the corner and up the road, and he's going to be down this long driveway, blah, blah. I was describing it. And my parents were like, we've never been here. And I said, no, I know where it is. And he's got a pole house, which is like a house on stilts. I was really excited about that. And they're like, okay, well, we may have told you about the pole house, but we actually don't know where he lives because we're trying to find our way. And sure enough, it was exactly where I had described it.
It really is unusual to have this kind of, I don't know what you would call it, if it is a premonition, if it's like a sixth sense to kind of understand things before they happen, and to have such an active kind of paranormal presence in your house. I wonder if there's some type of connection between the two, whether you're sensitive to that type of stuff, or maybe the trauma of it all has opened up, I know this sounds a little bit woo, but like a third eye scenario for yourself.
Yeah, look, I've considered all those things over the years because I've had a lot of experiences. And I guess I am sensitive, but a lot of people are sensitive. So, yeah, it's just being in particular houses. So just to backtrack a tiny bit, when that medium came and she did the walk around the house, she said that she felt that there was an entity or entities there that were connected more to the land. So the land that the house was built on was quite close to a little island that was tapu, so it was considered sacred. It was still is a Maori burial ground, like a graveyard, I guess. So she felt that whatever that thing was, the shadow person and whatever was hanging around, either outside or inside, it was very hard to tell, was connected to that. So that was more of the energy of that particular place. I think it just always felt like something was lurking. That's the only way I can put it, outside or inside.
Yeah, that's a bit of an uneasy thought to have, to think that you're constantly just being watched within your own house. There would be a level of, I guess, invasion that kind of goes along with that type of scenario, because you would just always feel on edge. You would never feel alone. There would be absolutely no sense of privacy. Was that the case with this type of thing? And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And look, as soon as I moved out of that room, when everyone was still at home, this is before the death in the family and everyone moving out, when everyone was still at home but I'd moved into a separate bedroom that wasn't that bedroom, that really just stopped. The hallway was still creepy. There would be odd things I couldn't explain, but it was mostly centered around that bedroom. So once I got out of that bedroom, until those episodes that happened later on after my father died, things were pretty much okay.
So you think something was attached to that bedroom? Do you think there's a reason for that?
I don't know. I really, really don't know. I could never work it out. But even as an adult going into that room, I felt really uncomfortable. And I didn't know whether to just attribute that to the fact that I had all those memories of being in there and being scared, or whether it was sort of definitely had something dark in it. It just becomes a bit muddled because you're so used to being scared of that spot. You're almost conditioned to it. So even when you're an adult and you walk in there and you're in your 20s, you're like, oh, this is still horrible, but you can't really put your finger on it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've just got those scenarios baked into your memory, and to move on from those would be, you know, essentially impossible, because those are fairly traumatic events that you've gone through. And to have it happen for 8 years, day in, day out, without a break, there's absolutely no question in my mind that those feelings would just be baked into it, because you can't move on from that. That was your life. That was a huge period of your life. And to disconnect from that would be essentially impossible, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, it just colors how you view this stuff. And then, you know, then there were years where everything was fine when I moved out of there, until I ended up in a house in Melbourne that had similar sort of activity.
Now you're in Melbourne, you're having this very similar activity. What was going on there?
Well, that was a house that I moved into briefly when I had a sister living in Melbourne. She'd come over before me, and it was a very old house. In the western suburbs of Melbourne, and that just had a lot of someone walking around at night, and they would just walk along the carpet up to the doorway of my room, and I was so early 20s maybe, I was still hiding under the covers. And I used to say to my sister and then brother-in-law, they've since divorced, you know, what's going on? Like, what is it with this house? You know, because my brother-in-law worked night shift and he liked to consider himself a bit of a prankster. So sometimes I thought it was just him trying to scare me. But they were like, no, there's something going on here. But they just didn't really talk about it. My sister would say that they used to sometimes come home late at night, and as they swung the car into the driveway, they would see a figure standing behind the sheer curtains. As the headlights hit the windows of the lounge room, that they would see a figure of what they thought was a man standing there.
That's terrifying. That would have been so many reasons to be scared, because one is there an intruder in your house, and then you get in there and there's not. So it raises the question, what was in there?
I know. And that was another situation where, I mean, look, they were so used to it that my ex-brother-in-law used to say, I just call out, if you're here, can you just do something helpful, like mow the lawns, please?
I think that's great. You know, I always joke off the air with friends about hauntings and stuff like that. And I always say that if I ever had a ghost haunting my house, I would definitely be charging that thing rent if I could, because you don't get to live for free, babe.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, that one I don't know whether my sister told me there was an older man who lived there and died, or whether I just thought that. I can't be sure of that, and I can't ask her about that because she's doesn't want to talk about that anymore. But one day I was home alone and I was given a fairly good shove, to the point where I didn't completely fall over. I just stumbled. But I just turned around and started paying out on my brother-in-law, because I was so sure that he'd just snuck up on me and given me a push as a joke, because it was very definitely a touch. It wasn't tripping over the carpet or a rug or losing my footing. It was someone giving me a fairly good shove in the back.
What was the reaction when you realized no one's there?
Well, I was pretty... By that point, I was really exhausted because I wasn't sleeping very much. So I was more irritable than anything else. And it was more sort of a feeling of anger, and I've just got to get out of this house, which I did. I moved out pretty quickly after that, because it was just that feeling of I can't relax, and that shuffling every night. It didn't matter if I closed the bedroom door or had it partially open or anything. It made no difference. And it would just come up to the edge of the bedroom and stop. And so I really did feel like that, whoever that was messing with me. And so by then I was kind of getting angry.
A lot of people think that, you know, spirits or entities, ghosts, whatever you want to call them, there's kind of two variants that come to most people's minds. And one is a version of a spirit that kind of relives their moment in time over and over and over. And another one has a little bit more sentience. And this is what this sounds like with yours. Like, it was fully aware of what it was doing.
Yeah, that's a really interesting theory. And I certainly have in the past sort of put things into ghosts and spirits and what is a replay and what is sentient. I'm not quite sure of that anymore, having had other experiences over the years. I really don't know with this particular one, but he certainly was threatening and uncomfortable, whereas other places that I've been, and certainly this hasn't happened in every house. I mean, I'm in my early 50s, so it sounds like a lot of stuff's happened, but if you spread it out over my life, you know, there have been years where things have been really quiet. But, yeah, other places I've lived in that have also had activity, it's been very different and quite sort of okay and completely non-threatening.
You've spoken about these entities that kind of, I wouldn't say cause you grief, but they're causing some discomfort in your life. And, you know, it's obviously better not to have them there than have them. But by the sounds of it, you have other encounters with spirits that kind of, I guess, are a little bit more accepting of your boundaries. Might be a good way to say it.
Yeah, look. There are things that have happened that I attribute to spirits, but of course I don't know, because I don't think we know anything really about it. But there have been times in my life where I've been in situations that haven't been great, and I've been very clearly warned. And that's been paranormal activity. So there was one occasion where I started going out with someone in my early 20s who wasn't great for me. Like, you know, it certainly wasn't an abusive relationship at all, but he just wasn't a particularly, I think, particularly well person. And it turned out he had some substance abuse issues I had no idea about. And at the beginning of that relationship, there was like this string of things that happened, like pictures falling off the wall, but the hook being fine and still hanging on the picture rail and the picture wire not being broken. I mean, I don't know how that even happens.
So it's been basically physically picked up, removed off the hook, and then put down on the ground.
Yeah, so the glass might break, but there's nothing, the picture wire isn't broken and the hook is still on the picture rail.
Yeah, that's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was all this activity mostly was around this one person, and I believe that was someone warning me, you know, and eventually, you know, we did break up and that was all fine. But there was an episode, and it just sounds so strange, but where I came into my room and a light bulb was on the floor on the carpet, and it was broken. And I'm thinking, okay, well, it's not like it fell on tiles, but whatever, it's broken. But the light shade was one of those glass half moon sort of light shades that you screw in to the light fitting. You know, that was still on the ceiling. So the screws were coming out a bit. It was hanging down a bit. But the light shade that encased the light bulb was still on the ceiling, but the light bulb was on the floor, broken.
That's it sounds so obviously tampered with, but there's no one there to tamper with it.
It's very weird. And so, yeah, a string of those things happened. And then I think that was a warning. I think that was something just saying, you know, stay away from this guy.
So why do you think that these encounters happen to you, Heather? Because, you know, people will go through their whole lives without even having the slightest odd thing happen to them. But, you know, your life is quite active and kind of full of paranormal surprises. Do you think there's a reason for that?
No, I don't really. I think as generally I'm probably have just always been a bit more open to it somehow. I don't really, can't really put my finger on that. But I know when I've taught yoga for many years, and I know when I sort of got into that quite strongly and was doing teacher training and doing a lot more meditation and stuff, that things would happen. They were never bad. They were never threatening or anything like that. But I think it's just about having a particular type of energy and noticing that these things are around you and that they're happening, because once you start noticing, you know, there's quite a lot of odd stuff that goes on.
Most definitely. And I think this is probably a little bit too broad, but the general public is fairly blissfully unaware about what kind of goes on in the world. And I think they're probably happy with that, because if they knew even a fraction of what potentially goes on, it could really scare a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And I've seen people, I'm trying to think of a specific example, but I've seen people when you're in conversation with them and they sort of go, oh, you know, I'm not into that stuff. And then they sort of get this weird look on their face, and I think there's a story there, but you don't want to say, or you're trying to explain it away already in your head before you've even tried to talk about it.
Yeah, and I hear that so often on this podcast, that people will share an encounter with someone and one person will just flat out refuse to comprehend what happened and just absolutely refuse to face the situation, actually probably much like what your sister did for all those years, whereas you kind of essentially tackled it head on and kind of accepted, yeah, something is happening here, I don't know what it is, and you're a little bit more open-minded to it.
Yeah, and then there's people in between. Like, my husband is quite the skeptic, and when I was preparing to talk to you, I was asking him about something that used to happen when I met him in the place that I lived in, and he started saying, oh, no, that didn't happen. No, what are you talking about? The person walking up and down the stairs. No. And then he said, oh, yeah, actually, I do remember that. And then he named like a couple of other little things that happened there. So he's sort of right, he's teetering on the edge. You know, he'll start off denying it, but then he'll sort of go, oh, yeah. And there was an occasion in the house we're in now, which is lovely, and I don't have any problem with whatever's here, where he went to see a psychic that we would both see. I'm talking once every 5 years or something. I think I just go to her because I really like her. But it's not something we do all the time. But I think he was at a crossroads with something, and I said, oh, why don't you go and chat to her? And he's like, oh, I don't really believe in that stuff. And I'm like, well, up to you. So he did go. And then he came back and he was telling me what she'd said. And he said, oh, by the way, she told me that you know how to get rid of the thing in the hallway. And I said, pardon? Because, you know, the thing that keeps walking up and down in the hallway. And I said, oh, you mean the hallway monitor? And so he would talk about that, but like only once a year. It's just get exactly the right moment. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't think there's anything particularly bad about that. And he was like, no, no, the psychic said it's fine, but that you'd know how to get rid of it. So I went, oh, okay, well, I'll give it a crack then.
To have a partner who is kind of teetering on the edge and, you know, probably leans a little bit more to the skeptic side to go and take a step to go see a psychic or a medium and then basically come home and kind of confirm, yeah, look, I'm having these like weird little things too and apparently you can fix it. So can you go do that, please?
Yeah, so we just refer to that as the hallway monitor, and every so often it comes back. The girls actually said to me the other night, because they're up all night because of, you know, being in lockdown, their routine's terrifying. But they're like, oh, yeah, every night at 12 o'clock there's this sound of an adjoining door that goes into a living area, of it opening and closing, and then something takes a couple of steps into the hallway and then it stops.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
And how old are your daughters, if you don't mind me asking?
No, that's okay. They're 12 and 15.
And they're just comfortable with that, just talking about it being open, and obviously it's not threatening them. They don't feel scared of it or anything like that?
No, actually. They're just like, it's a bit annoying because it keeps us awake. And I said, oh, okay, well, I'm sure it's nothing to worry about, and I'll have a word to the hallway monitor. So I'll just have to deal with that at some point. But there's been lots of things like that have happened in this house, and I've never felt that it was threatening in any sort of way. There was one time when we moved in that I woke up in the middle of the night and I could hear a woman screaming. And I was half asleep, as you know, it's a common story. I was half asleep. I could hear screaming, and it really did sound like someone was in trouble, but I couldn't make out words. I couldn't really even be sure what direction it was coming from, and I was just climbing my way out of sleep and sort of sitting up in bed going, am I really hearing this or am I dreaming? But I did hear it, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. And I didn't really know what to do. So I think in the end I just went back to sleep because it stopped so abruptly. And then in the morning I asked my husband. He was like, no, I didn't hear that. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, that's fine. I'll just put that down to a whatever. And then I was talking to the neighbours who'd been in the area for a long time, well before we moved in, and they were telling me about the gentleman who used to live in the house. And my neighbour said to me he was a little bit strange. A couple of times, on more than one occasion, he came over to our house in the middle of the night and he banged on the door. And my neighbour's husband got up and answered the door. And he said, the guy that used to live in my house said, what are you doing? What are you doing to your wife? And he said, nothing. She's fast asleep, you know. Have a look where we were until he banged on the door. And he goes, well, I can hear a woman screaming.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's kind of coming full circle, isn't it?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, thank God. And I was looking at my neighbor thinking, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. And the girls actually said that a while ago that they heard someone screaming, and then it just abruptly stopped. So I don't know whether that is a bit of a tape, you know what I mean? Like it's that's just a repeating thing.
That kind of, you know, touches on what we were talking about earlier there, where, you know, you get these spirits or these entities who kind of just seem to replay a moment in time over and over and over.
Yeah, and I also wonder whether it's our vibrations, our energy that also sets that up. Because, you know, with the girls hearing that thing every night at midnight, well, we would close that door and walk down the hallway. And we would have been doing that every day since we've moved in here, you know, 12 or 15 years ago or however long ago it was. So I also wonder whether it doesn't actually have to be an entity, but it's more like a residue of the energy when you do things a certain way at a certain time every day.
Yeah, that's a really interesting theory with that, because, you know, it's easy to say everything is, you know, spirits or, you know, ghostly, but it could be something completely different. And I'm always open to, you know, these kind of fringe explanations for situations like that.
Yeah, because there was a period of time when the kids were little that I would notice about half an hour before my husband came home, not every day, just sometimes, the sound of the key in the lock and the sound of the door closing, the front door, and the couple of steps into the hallway, just a couple of steps. And I'd open the door and go, oh, hi, you know, you're home. Nobody there. And it was very distinctive. The girls, when they were under five, would say, oh, dad's home. You know, I've heard the key in the lock. And it was just like that sort of idea of a replay.
It's really interesting. And I think you are living one of the most interesting lives I've heard, Heather, to have essentially, you know, your whole family on board for this kind of crazy paranormal ride, I think is super, super interesting. And the fact that your husband kind of gets on board once a year is, you know, I think that's pretty great too.
Yeah, they're pretty good. It doesn't really bother them at all. They just sort of, they're probably used to me. They just sort of cop it and go, okay, that's fine. I don't think they're threatened by it or scared or anything like that. So that's pretty good.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.